all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leave you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, ZIP 6. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Boom.
Damn it. All right, well, the voice you just heard, I'm not stopping this time. This is, yeah, we got some outtake material, but this we're going to try to go with, and this is Binary, what is this again? Binary Revolution Radio, episode 47. The voice you just heard was Bland Inquisitor, the Bland Inquizzle Nizzle Nipple Fipple himself. And this is May 25th, 2004. And boy, is it late. And boy, are we just, are we in the zone tonight? Oh, you know what, though? I'm going to start off with a serious topic. We've been kind of joking around on the phone before we started recording. You can't tell when we start off the show laughing. But I actually have a serious lecture to talk about. Not a lecture, a serious... You know, I've been wanting to talk about this and bring it up for a while now. And I'm just going to start the show off, start the housekeeping off, with a little bit of talking about hacking and hackers and what it means and where it falls in life and the priorities of life and the list of things that are important in life. Now, I've said the phrase before, live to hack and hack to live. Just, it's absolutely a state of being for me. It's a mindset. It's just a way of life. It's just the way I think in general. Whether it's in front of a computer, whether it's away from a computer, it's just a mindset. And I know a lot of people feel the same way. I absolutely know that people think that all the time. You're thinking outside of the lines. You're thinking about different things. But people have to also understand that, yes, it's a state of mind. Yes, it's something very important. It's what makes up who you are. But it isn't everything that makes up who you are. It's a part of who you are. And there's a lot more to life than hacking. There's a lot more to life than going to a forum and hanging out and posting a lot. There's a lot more than coding. There's a lot more than going out and reading and writing zines and doing this radio show and stuff like that. And lately, people have been having a lot of things come and go into their life, and people have had the need to unplug. And myself included, don't get me wrong, I try to do the radio show, but I've also had to unplug for some periods of time, and I've posted in the forums, hey, I've got things going on in life, I'm very busy, I'm busy at my job, etc., etc. But you have to unplug sometimes, because the bottom line is, no matter how close you feel to hacking and how much you have that mindset, there are more important things in life. Hacking is not the end-all and be-all of your life. So I've been wanting to bring this up lately because a lot of people have unplugged. Like I said, myself included, I know Bland, I know you had some time that you wanted to take away. I know Duel, you know, he took a little time off. He's still around and doing some things. But a lot of people, just to name us, just because I know we talk about it and we're open about it, but there are important things that come on in life that require that you unplug for a little while and take care of other priorities. Hacking is, no matter what, secondary to family and well-being and things like that. So a lot of people have been talking lately. I've been getting a lot of emails, a lot of instant messages, a lot of forum posts, etc. And I know others have as well. Anytime somebody does unplug, people don't quite seem to understand that real life still exists out there. And when people unplug, It's because they're taking care of things in their real life. So people go out and start rumors. Anytime somebody disappears for a little period of time, people start talking about things. They start making all these accusations. They start wondering what's going on. People, if someone unplugs, for whatever reason it is, if they, like, example, I come out and say I'm busy at work, I'm going to unplug for a little while, whatever reason, they'll come out and post, but some people don't. Some people have personal issues they want to deal with, whether it's financial issues, whether it's health reasons, whether it's family health. It could be any number of things. We're traveling for work. Anything in the world could cause people to want to unplug. And if they want to unplug and not say anything, then I think, as hackers, of all people, we should understand that people have a right to privacy and recognize and acknowledge that right to privacy. So if someone wants to unplug and not say a word to anybody, that doesn't mean that it's okay or right or any of your damn business, quite frankly, to go out and start spreading things about, oh, this has happened, and something happened here, and, oh, this is going on there, and, oh, he's not coming back from this, or we're not coming back from that. Listen, people unplug temporarily. It happens. Happens quite a bit. People unplug permanently, don't get me wrong. But that doesn't mean, frankly, that it's... I don't know. Where am I going with this, Bland? Can you relate to this at all? Am I really just going off for no reason here?
Let me tell a really, really poignant story.
Okay, please do.
It'll be the only one I tell this show, I promise.
Okay.
RFA. Okay? It was for, you know, there at the end, and for, you know, for a while, almost a half of the run was the Bland and Duel show. Okay? Now, that ended. And it ended for a number of personal reasons. That Duel and I were both busy with a lot of stuff that pays the bills. And a lot of things that we've made obligations to. Like, I'm married, okay? And, you know, doing a radio show, as you understand, takes a lot of time and a lot of resources. It's an evening to record, an evening to stream, and, you know, you've got a wife that, you know, needs attention, and you've got, you know, the yard needs to be mowed, and stuff needs to be done. I mean, you got to go to bed because you got to get up and go to work. And it's just, you know, that's why RFA ended, was because we both had a lot of stuff that needed to be taken care of, and a lot of things that, you know, superseded that. Well, you know, when we ended the show, we didn't, you know, you're not obligated. You are obligated, like we were obligated, to the fans of the show. To give them, you know, a last episode, to tie everything up, to really, you know, to put a bow on it, and to pretty much be clean about why we're leaving. So we did that, right? But a person doesn't really... You know, what do you owe the community that you don't owe your wife or your grandmother if she's in the hospital or whoever? You see what I mean?
Right, and you know, the fact that you guys did 99 and did kind of wrap it up and put a bow on it, as you said, you know, if you hadn't, I would feel pretty offended or upset if people would have been out there talking trash and making up stuff about why the show ended, as though they somehow deserve some answer or somehow they're entitled to some reason.
Right. Now,
you know, the fact that you've made the choice to end the show should be enough of a reason.
Right. Now, if, like, Duel has unplugged, pretty much, and so have I, for the most part. You know, I read the forums. I used to read the forums, like, 15, 20, 25 times a day, because you just have to, because there's just that many posts, right?
Right.
Now, I read it twice a day now, and to me, that's unplugging. You know what I mean? Like, right. I'll read them twice a day. I read them in the morning, I read them before I go to bed, which is like 2, 3 a.m. And if I don't hear from somebody in a while, I mean, that's just their business.
Right, and you assume that they've unplugged for similar reasons?
Right.
I mean, you know, and if they want to share them, I'm sure they will.
Yeah, and, you know, if... like, there are a lot of people that, the people that I know on the forums are you and Duel, and to a certain extent, Hack and Slash, and Voodoo Hal. To a certain extent, Voodoo Hal, and Hack and Slash. Anybody else, if I don't hear from in a long time, it's not that I don't care, it's just that they don't owe me anything. You know, if, I know Slip, I'm sorry, I know Slip Mode, I know Cyberlink, I know the Phoenix people, but I want to give them shots real quick. Anyway, if Sub-Zero or DJ Mollusk, people that I like, you know, I like these people and respect these people a great deal, but if I don't hear from them in a month, I'm not going to try to, you know, find their docs and look them up and try to call them and see what's going on.
Exactly.
I mean, they can do what they want to do. People can do what they want to do, and I'll do what I want to do, and I'll do what I need to do for my family and for my job and for everything else. And if people don't hear from me, then they don't hear from me. I mean, it's not like, you know, the forums don't pay the bills, right?
Right, and I think the key word there that I want to emphasize, if I can jump in for just a second, is need. Things need to be done.
Right. I mean, I want an iPod, right? But I need electricity.
I need to pay the rent.
Yeah, exactly. I need a roof over my head. I mean, there's a big difference. I want to hang out on IRC all the time and, you know, hang on the boards and chill and help people and write for everybody, write an article every week and everything else, but I need to support my wife, you know? I need to get my shit together so I can be a father eventually, you know? There are things that I need to do, and those things that I need to do, you know, I'm going to do at the expense of things I want to do. And I assume it's that way for everybody else.
And you know what? That's exactly the perfect way to state it, and I think dancing around it so many ways, I think the way you just said it is exactly right. Things that you need to do come before things that you want to do.
Right.
And people unplug to do things that they need to do. And you have to respect them for that, and you have to give them their space, and when they come back, if they come back, when they come back, if they want to share that, that's fine. You know, we have people that come and go from the forums all the time.
Yeah, 500 members, and I can name probably 20.
Yeah, and you know, I'll give a little quick shout-out to Kleptic. Kleptic's been back lately. I've been chatting with him. He's getting a site going. He unplugged for a little while, you know?
Got to, you know. I mean, there comes... You know,
and he's been unplugged for a good long while. He's kind of been off and on here and there, but he's been out for a little while and now came back. And, you know, are people out there, you know, making stuff up or wondering and hunting down? You know, that doesn't feel right to me.
No, there's something.
So anyway, we'll move into the regular part of the show now, go to some email, but I did want to get that message out there and say, people, please understand that there are more important things to life. And this is a message to you. This is not just a rant about, you know, don't do this or don't ask about that or mind your business. I don't want to be an ass and say it's about that. I want people to truly understand and realize, because I know that we have some listeners that are younger than us. We have listeners that are not married. Frankly, I'm not. I'm not married. I have other obligations that I have to deal with. And, you know, I can absolutely appreciate, you know, Duel recently married. Hell yeah, I'd unplug.
Yeah.
Damn right. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, having kids, having, you know, just living day to day, those are more important things than hacking. And if anybody, any of the listeners, I know this sounds really corny. If any of the listeners, if you have something in your real life, like, you know, here's another example, Wintermute. How long has that guy been unplugged?
Jeez.
A long time Wintermute has been unplugged, but he knows that we're here. He knows we're here for him, and if he needs anything, you know, but he's been unplugged for a long time because you know what? What's important to him right now in life is school.
Yeah.
And that kid is getting an education, and he's going to go places, and he's going to go far, you know, and damn it, how can you not have anything but respect for that?
Yeah.
You know, it's none of your business where he's at or how long he's going to be gone, and he doesn't owe you an explanation, you know, but frankly, school is more important than being in the hacking scene. You'll still be a hacker even if you don't hang out at benrev.com. or any other hacking site. You'll still be a hacker. If you're really a hacker, you're always a hacker. You don't have to be at a site. You don't have to write articles. You don't have to listen to the radio show. You don't have to, you know, it's going to be there. It's a state of mind. It's a way of living. It's a way of life. And that's going to be there whether you go to the sites or not. More important things is get your education, take care of your family, pay your bills, and live life. Life is always more important. Those are needs, not wants. So, anyway, boy, that was probably really depressing to listen to in bad radio, but I'm sorry I've been holding that in for a month now, and I really wanted to get that out, and I know, Bland, that because you and I both unplug occasionally, we could relate to this. I hope people understand what we're saying. I don't mean to be a wet blanket, especially to start off the show. So let's jump into some email. How about that? Kind of bring the show up a little bit.
Get her done.
Yeah. Because nowhere to go but up from there, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Which one? Let's see. Who's the lucky person who's going to bring us out of that depressing little rant? All right. Let's pick good old... let's take Soundwave 1380 here. He says... I assume he. I shouldn't say that. He or she, this person says, I have recently come across your show and I'm hooked. I listen to Rant Radio for about 8 hours a day at work. Wow. That's a full day. I have had this thirst to learn all I can about hacking, but I do not know a damn person to teach me anything. So I have been in the dark all this time, and you just gave me a flashlight. I went to the 2600 site, and I found a meeting just down the street from me. I'm a little nervous about going because I'm a noob. I would like to say I know a bit. I can build... Did I read that? I would like to say I know a bit. I can build a box from the ground up, and I've been pretty much a wares puppy. But I want to learn so much more. I'm just like you say, I love to see how things work and how to make it better. I am constantly messing with things. But as far as code and programming, I don't know crap. So, I'm just hoping I can meet the right people so I can get on track. While I did not mean to go on so long, I love the show and I hope I'm doing the right thing by going to this meeting. It would suck to be laughed out of the coffee shop.
If that happens, fuck 'em.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the very short version of what I was going to say.
You don't need people telling you what a noob you are. You know, right?
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I don't think he's as much a noob as he thinks he is. Yeah. You know, a lot of people kind of think that they may be a little bit intimidated. They think the 2600 meeting somehow is like all these elite whatever. No, you get a good mix at the 2600 meetings. You get a good mix of young, old, new, experienced, veterans, whatever you want to say. At our meeting, we get a good mix. We get brand new people that show up. We get people that aren't even into computers. We've had, you know, people show up just because they found it interesting, or they just walked up because they saw us all there talking about computers and overheard it and just said, hey, what are you guys doing? And we've had people do that before. So it's a good mix. So by all means, don't worry about the meeting at all. Just try it. I mean, it's like anything else in life. Just try it. Go try it one time. See what it's like. Sit down. Just listen. You don't even have to go talk. It's going to be awkward. You know, anytime you're going to meet new people or whatever, it's going to be kind of a little bit awkward. But you know what? Just sit there, listen, ask some questions here and there. If you have a serious question, don't be afraid to ask it. And yeah, if there are people there that are elitist, and you know, unfortunately, that is a reputation that sometimes people get. It's like anybody else in life. You don't have to like them. You don't have to be friends with them. But hopefully, there will be people there that aren't. Hopefully there will be people there that aren't elitist, that are good people, nice people, and helpful, and latch on to them and make friends with them, and ignore the assholes, basically, like Bland said earlier. Just forget about these guys. Go check it out. Try it. You know what? And even if you're really uncomfortable or really awkward, just kind of do some drive-bys. Just walk by the meeting and listen and overhear. Sit in a table next to them and sip on a coffee and just overhear and listen. Don't even say a word. Don't even say that you're there for the meeting. Just sit in and listen, if nothing else, and that'll give you a good idea of who's who, and you can see there who you respect and who acts what way and kind of see what people are like without getting into it. But you know what? I say jump in feet first. If you're really uncomfortable, sit there and just kind of listen in. But go in, introduce yourself, just, you know, talk to them, ask them what, you know, just... It's mostly going to be some chit-chat about what's going on. You might be surprised. You might know more than someone else there. You might know more than you give yourself credit for. Why don't you go... Do this for me. Go and try it. Like anything else in life, go and try it. See what it's like and email us back and tell us, frankly. And if you don't have to tell us where, if you don't want to, you can tell us where it was. You can tell us some people if you want to, or you can just, you know, write us back and say, I went, it sucked, I hated it, or it was cool, it wasn't so bad. You know, tell us how it went. Frankly, tell them we sent you. I don't know if that'll do any good. They might hate me. They might be Stank Dog haters. But tell them, you know, tell them we'll put them on the radio. Tell them we'll mention their 2600 meeting on the radio. Tell them that we said that. Email us back if you want. We'll give them a plug on the radio and give them some shouts out if they treat you right. And if they treat you wrong, well,
yeah,
we'll just let that go.
If he lives in Phoenix, by the way, he's the luckiest man in the universe.
Yeah, they got that. You know, I have to say they're probably one of, if not the coolest meeting, most approachable. Those guys are, yeah. I wish I could go visit the Phoenix meeting sometime. Maybe I can. Maybe we'll work that out somehow.
Thought about it. I'd like to. Duel made me an offer. He said he'd fly me out to a Phoenix meeting, or he'd fly me up to his house for the weekend last month.
Bow chicka bow bow. I know what you picked.
Yeah, I went to his house for the weekend.
Showing.
On the bearskin rug and the sushi.
Ooh. Did you make sweet love down by the fire?
Nah. Purely platonic.
Oh, okay. Hey, that's a married man now. We got to be careful.
Yeah, we're both married men.
That's right. Boy, just that sentence I could take out of context. Say that again. You're both?
Duel and I are both married.
To each other.
Duel and I are married. Yeah, that's a...
Now, I have one other email I wanted to talk about. This one is kind of a brainstorming. Let's just kind of think this one through. This is from Mobile Digit.
Cool handle.
He says, I have 3 megabyte down, 256 up cable on Comcast. I really enjoy it. Same thing I have, by the way. Anyway, I've had my account for about a year now and have found I get very little spam. I've only gotten 2 emails ever. I'm not running any spam blocker software because I've never needed it. Any ideas why I have so little?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you don't know anybody.
Well, no, better to the point, nobody knows you.
Yeah, because like my at benrev.com, I'm about to turn it off, my bland at benrev.com, because I got published in 2600, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 times, and I always put that at the bottom of them, you know, when... me and Duel, we had a bit of notoriety earlier last month. We got picked up by like 40,000 Linux pages.
Right.
We wrote that Slackware article, and everyone and their mother picked it up, and I signed it, of course, with bland at benrev.com. So now I get like 200 spam messages a day.
Right, and you know, and the reason it's not from people, it is spam. You're not talking about, you know, people replying and giving you feedback in the article. You're talking about junk.
I'm talking about Viagra, Cialis,
exactly.
Proper penal links, all sorts of great stuff.
Right, stuff that we know you obviously do not need.
Right, yeah.
Or already have. yeah, and that is the bottom line. You probably haven't used that email. I'm making that assumption based on what you told me. I'm sure you probably don't use that email. I have the same thing. I have Comcast. They assign me a username and an email, I guess. I wouldn't know how much spam I get because I don't check it. I only use that to authenticate. It's required to log in, like through my old DSL account anyway, and through the new one it's probably the same way. Comcast probably the same way. But I never, ever, ever, ever shared or used that email address. I never gave it to a soul because I didn't need it. I didn't care. I got... You know, stankdog.com addresses, benrev.com, Hotmail, 2600, blah, blah. I have so many email addresses out there. I don't know. Anyway, back to the point is that I haven't shared, I haven't given or used that email account because I didn't need it. And since I didn't put it anywhere, I didn't send an email from it, I didn't tell anybody where it's at, it probably doesn't have any spam in it either unless they sold it.
Right.
Now, Bell South, when I had Bell South DSL, which is my local telco, I never used that account either. I only used it to authenticate to connect to the network. I never, ever used that account. But it got spammed pretty damn bad. And if I never gave it out, who the hell did? Well, that only leaves one other suspect now, doesn't it?
Yeah, see, I had Verizon DSL for about 2 years. And they just give you, your account name at Verizon.net for your email address. They just give you one. And then they give you, you can set up, up to five other ones, this and that, for, people, auspiciously for people in your family and whatnot. So, I never use it because, again, I've got, at least 8 grillion email addresses.
All right.
From all over the universe, and only one do I use, two do I use. But anyway, I went and checked it one time, just on a whim, and I had about, no shit, I had 100 megs of spam. Mm. It was just awful. It was god-awful. And I never used it, never gave it to anybody, never told a soul that I had a Verizon email address.
No, you didn't have to. Verizon sold your soul.
Yeah, Verizon. They were like, oh, well, he's paying us money for email and internet, so we might as well make more money off of this poor bastard. And
exactly.
Sell his email to everybody that wants it.
And frankly, that is not uncommon. I mean, AOL?
Oh.
I mean, do I even need to go there?
Please, no.
Forget about it. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Okay, now there's another thing, too, and that's, some logic. If you have an MSN Messenger account or a Passport account, you have an @hotmail.com account as well.
Right.
So they can go out there and get a list of, they can look online in chat rooms, they can look in directories and stuff like that and see your username, slap an @hotmail.com on the end of all of them and start mass mailing pretty easily too. So if you have one of those type addresses.
I've got something interesting to say on the subject of that.
Go.
I've got, bland_inquisitor@hotmail.com. That's my, obligatory Hotmail.
Right.
I also have my name at hotmail.com. Now, Bland Inquisitor gets very, very little spam. The one that's my real name that I haven't given to anybody gets tons of spam. So much so that I've abandoned it. I guess they just take first names and last names, and just, piece them together or whatever.
Right, and actually that's something I was going to touch on here in a second, too, is besides the fact that, if you've shared your name anywhere, you're toast, because it'll get passed around like a cheap hooker. If you're on a public, you're on an ISP, a large ISP, they're probably pimping your name out as part of a list as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, you can pretty much assume that. Comcast, if you're telling, it sounds like Comcast might be doing right by you. I don't know. It remains to be seen. If you've had it that long, you haven't got it, maybe they haven't pimped you out as bad as some of the other ISPs do. And since, like I said, I don't use my Comcast account because I don't need it, I don't know if I'm in the same boat as you or not. Maybe I should check one day and see if I'm getting junk mail. I don't even know it, because I don't check that damn account. But the other thing is, obviously if you posted it anywhere, you register at any sites, the possibility exists. I can tell you at VenRev, of course, we don't do anything with that except verify that you have a valid account, but it's stored in a database encrypted where spiders cannot reach it. So they're not going to get it through the VenRev account. If you're getting spam, it will definitely not come from us. And it won't be found by a bot through us. Unless you put it in your SIG, for example. Your SIG file is plain text. Or you post it. Hey, does anybody know how to hack Hotmail? Email me at blandinquisitor@hotmail.com. Okay? All you got to do is the same spiders that work for search engines, they go out there and they go through the pages and they look for those keywords. They look for that @ sign. They look for what appears to be an email address. And they add it to their database. They parse through the page, go through the strings, and look for what they guess to be an email address. So if you've posted it in, a forum, you put it in your SIG file, you put it in a text file you've written, anything like that that's out on the web, it's going to be spidered and found eventually by the spammers. Now, along the same lines, you should also be careful. Sometimes stuff gets posted to the web. Not Theory can attest to this. Sometimes things get posted to the web, even though you protect your email address, it may get put out there without your knowledge. You may send something to a mailing list, for example. We have our FL2600 group has a Yahoo Groups account, and it's a mailing list the way they use it. But Yahoo also takes every mail that gets sent to that mailing list and posts it on the website, a Yahoo Group's website, to you to browse online. So you can email back and forth. You never actually put it on the web yourself directly, but Yahoo did it for you. And since it did hit the web, and it is in plain text, a spider's going to find that also. So even if you don't go out and put it on the web yourself, you got to be careful. Some mailing lists may get copied to the web. Someone may cut and paste an email and post it to a website. Hey, my friend sent me this. Post it to a website. If it gets on a web page anywhere, a spider will go out there and find it. So that leads to the most common solution, most common attempted solution, and I'll digress for a moment here. One of the most common solutions you see is when people do put the email address on the site, they'll put the word no spam in there. For example, something like no spam or remove me or something like that. So like instead of stankdog@benrev.com, stankdog.nospam@benrev.com or spamblocker_stankdog@benrev.com. Now a human that reads that is going to see, obviously, that's not the real email address. They'll take out the word no spam and send it just to stankdog@benrev.com. A human being can understand and realize what that's for, but a bot cannot. So a spider or a bot goes out there and finds that, they've gotten a bad address and it saved my address as opposed to having the real one, it would have been found. So that is like extremely common. I mean, you've seen that before, right?
Yeah.
That's like the most common thing, and to me, no. That's no. That doesn't work because, frankly, I'm a programmer. I know how easy it is, A, to write the spider in the first place, to do string manipulation, to parse through strings, parse through characters, is not that difficult. So you can parse through there looking for the @benrev.com or at whatever. It's just as easily, it's very easy to add a routine to parse through that address and look for those keywords like no spam. It's so common that standard, it's actually become kind of a standard to see no spam or the word remove me. Well, guess what? You can hard code those values and those strings into the same robot in the same program or a different program to remove that out programmatically. So I put stankdog.nospam@benrev.com. The bot can find it, strip out that no spam part, and still they have a successful email address find. So I've never gotten that. At first it was a good idea, but as soon as a lot of people started doing it, you don't think the programmers and the people writing this stuff are smart enough to write around it. I don't think that one works at all. I don't think that one's very effective whatsoever. Only the dumbest bots are going to miss that. So the only real solution to the whole thing, and this is probably what's happening to you, is to not use your email address online. You know, like they say, the safest computer is one that's not connected. It's one that's not on the internet, that's not connected to a network. That's the safest computer. That's ridiculous. I mean, we know you can't do that. We know it's not right. So basically, the big thing is be as careful as you can with it. Use spam filters when you can. And on BinRev, even with the spam that you're getting, we have Spam Assassin. I mean, imagine if we didn't have that, how much it would be blocking. I use Spam Assassin on the server side to filter out junk mail. And then on the client side, inside of Mozilla Thunderbird, I've got that spam filter set up, and I'm training it right now. It's getting smarter, of course, each email I flag.
Yeah, see, I'm doing that too.
And it helps, but, you know, that's why it's such a huge problem. It's a very big problem. So even if all this, you don't share your email out. I'm surprised you haven't gotten a few more spams than two. Well, you said two emails. I don't know if they're both spam. Because another thing is what you mentioned to earlier, they can brute force email addresses. Besides writing a spider to go out there and look for the email addresses and farm them, which has probably got a higher success rate, it's very simple matter for them to also start with @benrev.com, @benrev.com, and brute force their way to AA, and just go through the list. If 9,999 out of 10,000 fail, one of them gets through, that's a success, and all those bounces, they don't care. Couldn't care less because they probably spoofed them. They're probably coming from an untraceable machine, something like that anyway. So they'll bounce 9,999 to get that one successful email through. It means nothing to them. So anyway, most likely you don't use that email address and they didn't pimp out your soul basically. That's the only solution I can come up with. Obviously, they might have spam filters running at their mail server that could be helping too. But you know, that's about all I can. You know, I don't know what else it could. I mean, is there anything else you can think of?
Not really.
I mean, that's the main reasons it gets passed around, and there is no easy, straightforward solution. That's why so many people hate spammers. They hate spammers more than they hate us hackers. Because even hackers hate spammers. Where does that put them? They're down there with, like, child pornographers and lawyers.
I think even lawyers hate spammers.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right, probably. So, anyway, I guess that's... I don't know what else to say. I mean, we could probably get more information from him and track it down, but it's along those lines. Let me put it in perspective. I'm in the same boat. You know, my email address is out there, stankdog@benrev.com, letters@benrev.com. I talk about all the time.
God, I get tons on that.
Yeah, it's published on the websites, et cetera, in the magazine. So the website mostly is what does it. But I also have a couple accounts that are at benrev.com, accounts that I've never told a soul about. I have one that is that I use exclusively with Hack and Slash. And I don't think I've ever gotten a single piece of spam on it that I can think of offhand. I don't think I've ever gotten a single piece on it. And it's not because Spam Assassins is working better on it than it is on the other addresses. It's all the same server. It's because nobody knows that address. And nobody's found it. It's never been published. Never told anybody. I've never mentioned it on the air. Nobody knows that address except Hack and Slash and I. And that one gets no spam that I can think of. So that sounds like it's the same situation with you. So nobody's used it. You haven't told anybody. Or if you have, it's been to a couple people who haven't shared it or spread it out. So that's probably the answer. Now, our main topic coming up in a few minutes is going to be RSS. But before we do, let's do a little bit of show and tell. And, you know, I'll go first because we might be able to segue from some of your stuff into the main topic. First of all, I was shocked. One of the things I was doing this week was I stumbled across it. I don't know how. I think somebody might have mentioned it in the forums. I'm not positive. But people are selling beta Gmail accounts on eBay. Beta invitations. They are selling them on eBay. And they are selling, I saw one today, just before we recorded the show, $66. And it was still had a few minutes left on it. $66 for a free, what's going to be a free email address. And it's an invitation. So you get to, it's an invitation to Gmail. So you can go in and create an account with your name or whatever. I guess people just want to get their name right away. They want to beat everybody else. I guess nobody else, make sure nobody else takes stankdog@gmail.com or whatever it's going
to
be.
Well, I got to tell you, I would love to have a Gmail address. I just want one.
Yeah, I want one too, but I'll wait till they come out free.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the ones that I've seen that are being sold are Words. They're like the actual email address. Like I saw hacker@gmail.com. It was going for like $50 or something like that.
Yeah, see, that reminds me of like the cyber squatters that were registering domain names and
yeah,
then
like
sitting
Microsoft
on them and holding them hostage, yeah. And this is going to be along the same lines. You know what I think would be kick-ass? It is beta. I'd like to see, and I'm sure Google's Terms of Service or their... have warnings that says, warning, this is beta, we can't be held responsible for what might happen. I'd love to see them wipe it clean and start from day one scratch. Thanks for helping with the beta test. All accounts are deleted. Start over.
That would be awesome.
That would be such sweet justice, all these people out there selling and buying and selling their accounts and stuff. It's beta, people. I hope they take your shit away from you, for real. Seriously, I do.
But I tell you what, when that thing goes public...
Yeah.
I'm going to be looking... I'll be sitting there... Like, with the timer, because there's two that I want really, really badly.
I'm going to beat you to blandinquisitor at gmail.com.
And you're going to sell it to me for $50.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, how funny would it be if we both, just to be asses, tried to cock block each other and register each other's names, and all that ends up is we'll trade them back to each other?
Yeah. I'll give you stankdog@gmail.com and benrev@gmail.com.
Yeah, right? look, if somebody takes, if somebody, first of all, there is another stank dog out there, but there's not many stank dogs out there. If they take it, you know what? Okay, I'll get Stank Diggy. I'll get whatever. I don't care. I'll make it stank. I don't care. I couldn't care less. It's not important to me, frankly. I want one, but it's not. Still not going to be my primary account.
Yeah, but think about it. Think about if your name... Okay, neither my name nor your name is Steve. Okay?
Oh, all right.
Let's say your name was Steve. That would be the shit to have steve@gmail.com.
I don't know. It wouldn't be. It's not... I'm just not getting that tingling sensation. Sorry, it doesn't do much for me.
It rumbles my tummy, dude. I dig it. It makes me happy.
I don't know.
What
if you already had Steve.com? To me, that's more cool. It's cooler to have Steve@Steve.com or TheMotherFuckingMan@Steve.com. That owns more than having Steve@SomeoneElse'sSite.com.
Now, see, as for me. Well, here's an email address that I have that I will give out, and I'll probably receive copious amounts of spam for doing it. So I have me@blandinquisitor.com.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, right?
You know?
Doesn't get any simpler than that.
I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah. I don't have that. I might have to create me@stankdog.com. I should create some funny accounts on there just for the hell of it to see... if they ever get spammed.
I'd like to have bukake@benrev.com. Can I have that?
Ooh, I might have to. I might just have to give you that one.
Excellent. Forward it to the same place that bland@benrev is.
Well, yeah, well, quit changing it every week.
Delete bland@benrev, dude. That email address sucks.
Yeah, well.
I want bukake@benrev.com.
Are you actually going to sign articles with that?
I will.
Okay. All right, well, anyway, the fact that people are selling them on eBay is one thing. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. People are always trying to sell everything. But really, what gets me is that people are tripping over their dicks to buy these things. $60 for a freaking email address?
Now, see, I'm mildly interested in all this. I'm not about to pay a dime for a Gmail address.
I was going to say, would you pay $60? What about $50 or $20 or $10?
I wouldn't pay $1.50.
Yeah, I mean, they were all selling for well over $20 by the time the auctions ended anyway. You know, you saw some early in the auction that were still $10, $15, but there's no way. Why would you... You're paying for a free... You know what? I'm going to... Okay. Anyway, I think that horse is beaten to death. I think that's pretty... That's just stupid. And I'll give you a little tip. I don't know if this is true. I can't verify it. Maybe someone else can verify it. But I found there's a site called Orkut, or Orkut, O-R-K-U-T... I don't know how that's pronounced, ORKUT.com, that is supposedly owned or in cooperation with Google, or I think Google might have bought them out or something like that. But anyway, if you have an account on this thing, the rumor is that they're the ones giving out a bunch of the beta accounts. And then these people, so people are over there signing up for this thinking they know some big secret of how, oh, yeah, this is how you get the invitations, and then they're going out and selling them. And I think once you get an invite, once you create an account, you're allowed to send an invite to someone else. So, you know, you get that daisy chain effect. So, someone can go check that out if you really want it that bad. ORKUT.com, create an account there, which is owned by Google. And supposedly that you'll be more likely to get an invitation. And I think the other one is that Blogger.com.
I've heard that.
But I think that was just in the first wave. And I don't know, I think so many people Blogger is such a big site, so many people on it now that they didn't give out a whole lot of those. So, Orkut, I don't know what it's called. Might try that one if you really want it bad enough. Give it a shot.
It's an online community that connects people through a network of trusted friends. We are committed. Orkut is committed to providing an online meeting place where people can socialize, make new acquaintances, and find others who share their interests. Join Orkut to expand the circumference of your social circle. Which is what we're going to join now.
I was going to say, is there a... joining that circle of friends is just friends who are looking for a free... that's the one thing they have in common, looking for a free Google Gmail account?
Yeah, dude, no shit. It says in affiliation with Google down at the bottom.
Yeah, see, try. I don't know if it's going to be an instant thing. You might have to... Might just put you on the waiting list or something, but I don't know. Try it and see. It can't hurt. Also, I've been pricing digital cameras recently.
Wait, hold on. There's a catch.
Uh-oh.
Join Orkut. Orkut is unique because it's an organically grown network of trusted friends. That way we won't grow too large, too quickly, and everyone will have at least one person to vouch for them. If you know someone who is a member, that person can invite you. If you don't know an Orchid member, wait a bit, and most likely you soon will.
Oh, what kind of crap is that?
But you can't join.
Is this like that club where you have to know somebody to get in?
Yeah, so what you gotta do is you gotta find someone at work that is a member, steal their cookie.
Yeah, but how did they get to be a member? How did the first person get to be a member, damn it? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. You want your website to grow and be popular, but you don't want to let... That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Anyway, I've been doing a little bit of research pricing out digital cameras lately. I have the digital video camera that we film most of Hack TV with, frankly. And it does take still pictures, 1 megapixel, not all that great. Well, I've been kind of looking at something a little bit nicer. I'm not going real high-end, but I'm looking at like a 3 or 4, probably even a 2 would be acceptable, a 2 to 4 megapixel digital camera. I'm trying to stay within 3-digit number beginning with 1. I'm trying to stay below 200. So I've been looking at that, and the reason why is because I'm getting ready for Hope. I have confirmed the hotel. Zero DB and I have confirmed. We've got flight plans that probably will be confirmed by the time this airs, by the time this streams. So I'm going to be in New York. We're staying a few extra days to do some sightseeing and some other touristy, corny stuff. Have a little vacation out of it. So I'm going to have a digital camera, and I'm going to go check out the Big Apple and take a picture of a bunch of hackers. Bunch of hackers, freaks, and hopefully some hot chicks showing their breastises.
What?
Now, of course, that won't be happening at Hope, but, you know, I figured I'd go down to score. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, you never know. Maybe we'll be surprised. We need to make... What was it? Remember that song, Gangster Bitch or Gangster Chick? A little rap song? We need to make a hacker chick version of it. I need a hacker chick. Bye-bye. Anyway. Oh, yeah. I'll back that. I come up with some weird shit sometimes. Other than that... I've had some personal things going on, too. I've been unplugged. I've been checking the forums. Some days I don't check them, frankly. I have not been able to get to them every single day. So, luckily, we have a lot of good moderators that help maintain order, so don't think just because I'm not there, I'm not going to fucking lay down the law. You know? We have people that tend to think that they can be asses and get away with it. Anyway, I've got, you know, I'll come out. I don't mind coming out and saying a little bit about my personal. I'm in the process of possibly changing jobs, so that's more important. I've got to pay bills. I got to put food in my mouth and lots of it.
Cracker Barrel.
What? See, don't trip. Don't even play. Duel tries to diss the Cracker Barrel, but guess what? Mrs. Duel loves the Cracker Barrel. He won't admit that on the air. See, I just told you a secret about Mr. Parallel there. Mrs. Parallel digs the Cracker Barrel, baby.
Who doesn't? Honestly?
Oh, you want me? Here, I'll dish a little bit more dirt on Mr. Duel Parallel. This will be like a undercover. I'm gonna drop his docs right here. Mr. Parallel, for all the shit that he gives me, asked me what time the American Idol final was on tomorrow. Biatch! That's right, I outed you. What you want? What you got? That's right. His woman's got him watching American Idol. Don't deny it. Anyway.
That is so wrong.
I know. It's funny, though. Oh, man. So, actually, you know what? He'll admit it. He knows he does. He hated it, and he hated on it so long and made so many jokes about me. But you know what? He's watching American Idol. I think he only started watching it like a week or two ago. I'll give him that much. But I think his woman's got him hooked on it. And I tell you what else. Boy, we're off on a tangent here. And I still got a main topic we have to cover. Damn it.
Okay, I don't know that much about RSS.
All right, well, I'll come back to it in a minute. Okay, I'll make this quick. There's also this new show that's probably rock-bottom television. It's as bad as it gets. And I'm not talking about The Swan. That's pretty rock-bottom, too. That's pretty low. Take a bunch of ugly chicks.
Remember they cut on those ugly bitches?
Yeah, and then not only do they do it, and do all this drastic stuff, then they put them in a beauty pageant. That just, to me, just seems You know, what are you, the not ugliest of the ugly chicks? Congratulations, yay, you won the not ugly contest.
That's just special.
It's just, that's just wrong. And you know what, I'll be honest with you, I'll out myself a little bit here. Some of those chicks weren't all that bad looking to begin with, damn it. I don't care what anybody says. Some of them were fugly, don't get me wrong. But there was one that I could think of that I'd hit it. I'd hit it, you know. Anyway, there's another terrible show. It's called Superstars USA.
Hey, wait. Small caveat.
Uh-oh.
I've got two pieces of spam in my email address that are marked in the subject header as sexually explicit. The new law that went through.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, two people are actually abiding by two of the 41 pieces of spam I have.
Wow. This new show is Superstars USA, and it's the reverse American Idol. They're trying to find the worst singer. But here's what makes it evil and dirty. And Decoder loves this show, by the way. We get on the phone and watch it together and make fun of the people. How low are we? The premise of the show is they're trying to find the worst singer in America. But here's the problem. Here's why it's evil. They don't tell the people that. The people think they're auditioning for WB's version of American Idol. They think they're there singing for real. And it's got Tone Loc is one of the judges, and I think Vitamin C, who somebody tells me she's a pop star. I'd never heard of her. Of course, I don't really know the whole pop thing. And some other guy, the three judges, and it's kind of funny, because some of these people think they're really auditioning. So some people come up and they can just sing. I mean, the girl has some pipes, and like the dude just threw up his hand and interrupted. He's like, yeah, okay, next. He just interrupted her, and it's like she could sing. You know, so it's like, that's wrong.
That is wrong.
That's somebody's dreams, and you're like crushing them going, no, you know. And the one girl, she could sing all right, you know. She wasn't great, but she could sing all right. And he's like, you know what, stop. You know what, I got to tell you, I'm offended. You're singing a Gladys Knight song, and Gladys Knight, she would be so angry that you made her look bad, and you're the girl broke down in tears.
Dude, that sucks.
That's wrong. That's what I'm saying. And then you got these people that come on, and they couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And they're horrible, and it's so funny to watch the judges act, because like they will open their jaws as if in awe, and they'll start going wow while the person is singing, feeding that ego. And then when they're done, sometimes they'll stand up and applaud and make all these things about how great they were.
That's fucked up.
And they take them on to the next round, and these people think they're going on because they can sing really well, when in fact they're horrible.
That is so wrong.
So they're going on through this contest under the false pretense that they're going to be one of the final Superstar USA, and at the end, they're going to unveil it. And this is why I watch that. I feel dirty watching it, first of all. I want to take a shower after it's over. But I'm watching for that one moment, because there's this one dude that's this big, thug-looking ghetto dude, and I want to see the moment. At the end of the show, or somewhere along the show, eventually they reveal the truth, and they come out and say, hey, we lied to you. We weren't trying to find the best. We were trying to find the worst. I want to be there that moment when somebody gets fucked up. That's why I watch the show.
He's going to pull out his gadget.
I want to see some throwdown. I want to see somebody get clocked. You tell some...
He's going to go hog wild, man.
Yeah, that's why I'm watching the show. I want to see somebody get some payback, some revenge for putting them through. That's just disgusting, sickening, and they should be ashamed of themselves for putting on that show.
I guarantee you, nothing will turn my hat blacker than putting me on TV and making me look the fool.
Oh, all right, well, boy, we're running long, and we didn't want to do this, but why don't you do a little show and tell yourself? I know one thing you've been doing, because I've been going out there and reading it, and that's blogging. I've been going out checking out the Bland Inquisitor blog, which today, by the way, was the funniest thing I think I've ever read in my life. If you haven't been to BlandInquisitor.com, you've got to read the one that's out there today.
Yeah, the dirty pants story?
Yeah, that's a polite, yeah. There's a very funny story out there.
Yeah, and Reed Exile as well. He's a friend of mine. I gave him some space on the page. He's writing... And he writes some funny stuff. So read the front page and then go check out Exile. But yeah, hopefully now that I've re-plugged, as it were, I've reloaded.
Albeit with an extension cord. You're semi-plugged back in, I guess.
Yeah, I'm halfway plugged in. I'll be updating the site pretty regularly. I'm probably going to update it tonight before I go to bed. And so hopefully it'll be like an every other day or every day thing again, like it was back in the beginning. So if you're a loyal reader, thank you. If you're going to become a loyal reader, thank you. So just want to pimp that, pimp him.
And you've been working on anything else? Obviously, you've got the real life stuff going on, but didn't you also, am I mistaken, or didn't you have another theme, Fluxbox theme of, which one was it?
The angel.
Yeah, an angel, right?
Yeah.
That is up on oldschoolfreak.com.
Yep, and also all my themes are at themes.blandinquisitor.com.
Oh, very cool. I did not know that. Themes.blandinquisitor.com. I have to go check that out. All right, so now you're blogging, but you're basically just doing HTML.
Yeah, I don't like all that fancy shit, man. I just want a straight HTML page. Now, what Exile does, he actually has to email me, like he'll write something, like a text file, and he'll send it to me, and I'll have to put it up on the page for him. Now, what I'd like to do is make his subdomain something where he can just log in and change it on the fly.
Right, which is a good segue into talking about RSS, which is going to be our main topic. Now, RSS is... Okay, well, see, and the reason why this is a good segue is because what would be perfect for him is something like I use on stankdog.com. I don't have time to maintain that site as well as BenRev. BenRev is a lot of work. So, on stankdog.com, I just threw up a content management system. FL2600.com, our Florida 2600 meeting, also running a content management system. Most of these, StankDog does not, I don't think, actually. I'm running GeekLog on StankDog.com, GeekLog content management system, and I don't think the version I have anyway has support for that. I'd have to check it to verify, but I know for a fact the FL2600 does, and that is running the E107, I believe it was. I think that's the one we used for that one. It's been a while. But what it does is it has a news module, which is pretty much the main module. It's where all the center column of all the information and posts and stuff like that. Go to FL2600.com to see what I'm talking about. All the stuff that gets posted into news can be syndicated, is what the term they use, into an RSS feed that you can use on your own site. So if you want to start a 2600 site somewhere and you want to see what the FL2600 group is up to and what we're doing and posting, you can do that. It does provide you a feed, and you can add it to your site and put it wherever you want. You have control of it. It's just an exported format. And when I say format, it is actually an XML format or an XML substandard. So most content management systems do that. So that sounds like it might be something good for him. Or maybe the whole site like that. Both of you post to the same site, but obviously that's what your preferences and stuff are. But for me, for that ease of use, I really like that factor and that aspect of it. And that's really what's pushed blogging, and bloggers in general, is really what's pushed RSS, in my opinion, a lot more than anything else. And general news and stuff like that is also, it's great for something like that. But bloggers are the ones that really made it. Because you have these people who have things in common, and they want to link to each other and have information off each other and share knowledge and information, which, of course, is something we love in the hacker community. They link together, and they syndicate each other's information, and you can find some sites that have lots of information that's pulled from other sources, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all based on something called RSS, which stands for, as far as I'm concerned, really simple syndication. Now, I've also seen it referred to sometimes as rich site summary, but that's news to me. As far as I'm concerned, I think the official W3C standard is to say really simple syndication. Now, what it is an XML substandard or an XML format. It first became popular like around 0.91, 0.92, and it's backwards compatible. You'll still see those out there. If you look at anybody's RSS feed, look at the actual XML code behind it, it'll tell you up in the top one of the tags is an identification of the version number. and it was 0.91 that really started having, it was very simple, straightforward, an official, nice, easy-to-use standard. And later on, right now there's a version 2.0 out. When I say standard, this is a versioning system standard. This is a version, an XML standard. It's not like a program, beta version this, beta version that, version 1.2, etc. This is a standard versioning system. So every time they make changes or additions to the standard, they'll give it a new number. So right now it's on 2.0, and that's what's becoming very popular right now. But you will also still find 0.91, 0.92 is also a nice hop along the way. But all of them pretty much look the same and have the same functionality. 2.0 just adds a lot more of optional elements, what they call elements, optional tags, that can be used to customize the feeds more than just headlines and links, which is really what 9.1 and 9.2 is. So RSS is a simple XML format, or substandard, or there's, you know, terminology is, you know, semantics. I'm not going to worry about that too much, but it's an XML format or an XML type. So it is a widely accepted standard, XML is, of course, and it's very popular because it's very, very easy to create. It's a subset of XML, and it's identified by starting off with an RSS tag. So tags, of course, anybody that does HTML editing will know what a tag is, the open bracket, close bracket, greater than, less than, with the word RSS in it. Inside of that tag, you have, that is where your substandards come in. That is where your XML standards and your versioning standard format that we talked about earlier comes into play. Inside of that RSS tag, you have standard tag names that identify what RSS is comprised of. First thing is that they're generally bookended by what's called the channel tag. And they call your news feed, you can call it a syndication, you can call it just a news feed. Generally, as far as from the source code, they refer to it sometimes as the channel. A channel of news, a channel of information, etc. So it's bookended around the whole thing as you put a channel tag. And inside of that tag, you have repetition over and over of as many items as you want to put in there. Obviously, you know, there's a point of overkill, there's a point of underkill, etc. You can, you know, find out what you think is a good standard, 10, 20 headlines, how much is too much. You know, you don't want to chase people away because you make too much, and you don't want people to have too little that it doesn't interest them, but obviously that's common sense kind of stuff there. Now, inside of these repetitive section, these repetitive items, you will have basically, and this is with, we'll stick with 0.91 format, a very basic headline, a summary sometimes, and a link to that full story. So in the majority of cases, that's what comprises an RSS feed. The majority of the ones you see out there are that simple. A list of headlines, perhaps a nice summary to go underneath of it, and a link that if you're interested, if the headline catches your attention, you want to go read more about it, you click on the link to find out where the rest of the story is, the rest of the information. And it's very simple to create. It's not that difficult. Again, it's an XML standard, and the only required parts of it in the version 0.91 are, you know what, five tags I just mentioned? Five, six, seven tags total. Just over and over again, repeat the parts that you need. So it's very simple to create and update the XML file, and you can feed all that information to other sites. Now, like I said, 2.0, the difference to that is they added a lot of optional tags. So you don't have to use them. You can stick with just the basic tags, like I said before, but you can add a whole lot more if you want to be more thorough. It has some, I think, some cascading style sheets formatting that you can send if you want to keep it in a certain look. Somebody correct me if any of the listeners, of course, have more experience with this. I do know that Nick84, for example, if you want to see this in action, you can go to rootsecure.net and see what he's doing with it. He has syndicated news coming from a lot of different sources that come through secure.net. So, and I syndicate that and put that on our fl2600.com site. And I'm pretty sure he has others. As a matter of fact, Nick, if you're listening to this, email us and let us know some statistics. How many people are using your feeds? And I'm pretty sure quite a lot are, because I think he's been taking some bandwidth hits. I think he mentioned to me because so many people are using it. So it is a good, it is a good way to get it out there. For example, FL2600, our group, I would love to see another group, whether they're Florida 2600 or not, maybe one centralized. What if 2600.com themselves was to write a page? Here, I'm throwing this out. Take this idea and run with it. Of course, they probably won't, but put a section of their site that allows people to send RSS feeds. Official meetings, put all their feeds out there. People can go and find out what every single group is up to and doing, and it's no maintenance from 2600.com's end. All they do is got to get it up there and let people submit their feeds. All the only maintenance that would be needed is an authorization process to say, yes, I this is an acknowledged group, we'll accept their feed. And then you just let the feeds run. An occasional deletion, an occasional addition, very low maintenance. I think that would be a pretty cool idea myself, but hey, that's just me. Now, this all sounds well and good, and I like it. It's a way to get news headlines and sign up to newsletters and get information about whatever topics you're interested in without signing up to mailing lists and being subject to spam like we talked about earlier. But there's also some potential downfalls of this or potential abuses. One thing that jumps into my mind, and Bland, correct me, what do you think, is there a concern about man-in-the-middle attacks on something like this, of getting in and intercepting somehow? Or is there any point? Is there any point in bothering with that? Or,
well, how is it transmitted? Is it plain text?
It's XML, so yes, it's transmitted in plain text. I don't know if they actually support any type of encryption, but I don't think so.
Well, it's obviously possible, right?
Well, anything's possible, but yeah, how easy? Let's put it on a.
Be pretty damn easy, as a matter of fact. I mean,
if
someone was doing it, like, let's say that I was serving it on blandinquisitor.com, which is not in my house, okay?
Right.
I would update it, and then, you know, someone would be pulling from it. Let's say that binrev.com
right.
was pulling my feed. Well, you just have to get in there. I don't know. That would be a little... It would be a lot less tricky to actually take it from the wire, like on the internally, than it would be to just suck it out of thin air, right?
Yeah. See, I'm reaching out and pulling it.
That's not so insecure.
Yeah. So the only thing really is if they hacked into your site or your page, it could be modified, but so could anything else, I guess.
You got bigger problems than RSS feeds.
Right. Right. Now, I think the only other this is something that to me is simple. Well, I mean, I know for a fact this is simple to do. I haven't seen it yet, but I guess it's inevitable that this is going to happen, and that is stealing other people's news feeds and claiming credit as your own. I don't think there's anything to stop me from writing a spider that goes out and grabs your Bland Inquisitor feed, which again doesn't exist, but for hypothetical reasons, to go out and grab your feed. I now have your XML. All I got to do is parse through it, change every reference of Bland Inquisitor. This is the great Bland Inquisitor's news feed, and I change everywhere it says that to say this is the great Stank Dog news feed, and offer my what is now my news, as far as people know, out to more people with my name on it instead of yours. Basically, just out and out stealing it. That I think is. Well, I know it's very simple. It's just very obvious to do that.
Wow.
So that's I think that's copyright violation waiting to happen there. See, that'll be interesting. Now, once somebody does get wind of it and find out, which shouldn't be that hard to find either. It's easy to do, but it's probably easy to find. All they got to do is send a bunch of fake headlines that says Stank Dog is an ass. Click here and take them to the weightlifter picture or something.
Oh.
Yeah, I snuck one in there. Obviously you could make somebody look like an ass for doing that too. It's easily caught. It's easily done, but it's easily caught. Maybe that fact will foil people from trying that. But I don't know. I guess that remains to be seen. Now, I don't know if anybody remembers, there was an old application I used to like called Pointcast or Pointcast Network, which was this client that you would download, and the term channel is appropriate because it had a lot of topics, a lot of channels. And people would provide feeds similar. They weren't RSS. There was no format. There was no XML back then. But people would provide these feeds. And I think even Netscape tried to get in on it for a little while, adding support for these type of feeds, where it was basically different themes. And like sites like Wired, they made a channel with all their news on it. There were weather channels. All the different news companies had their feeds. You could get all kinds of stock information, stuff like that. But it was all proprietary and downloaded to a client. Well, what this does is the same thing, different channels, different genres. You control what you see and what you read, except that it's non-proprietary. It's an accepted, normal, standard format. And you add the XML to your site. How would you read it? I guess there's a question. How do you read it? Obviously, like I mentioned, most content management systems, as well as providing them for output to other people, as well as providing them to be syndicated, they will also allow you to add that news to the site. If you go to fl2600.com, on the left-hand side, you will see where I have, I am showing feeds from hackwire.com, a site you might want to go check out, Root Secure, I mentioned earlier, Nick84's Root Secure site. You can add a lot, you know, as many as you want to there, and selectively choose what's of interest to you. You can add those to your content management system if they can, and if not, you can probably whip up some code yourself. Not too awful difficult to display that XML on your site, write your own custom feed, something like that. Maybe that's a project for BenRev.
So, what are you using on this FL2600.com?
I'm sorry?
What are you using on FL2600.com?
On FL2600, we're using E107, I think, is the name of the content management system.
And can you log into that from anywhere and update it on the fly?
I'm not sure what you mean. The administrator can log into that HTML. They can log into the page with the administrator account and access basically a control panel. And yes, you can make changes, additions, updates, and everything via the HTML interface. You don't have to SSH into the box to make changes or updates. You can do a lot of it, most of it, through the web interface. That's what a content management system is all about, frankly.
Really? So I've never played with these. I'm a bit old school, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
How hard would it be to install this on, say, BlandInquisitor.com?
Not very difficult at all. Like I said, FL2600's got it, and StankDog.com's got it. It's a different one. I tried some different ones. The next one I'm going to try is something called Zoops, X-O-O-P-S, I think it's called.
Uh-huh.
Zoops.org. You might check that one out. That's one I'd like to try out, so you might give that one a shot. Post-Nuke, I'm sure you've heard of, PHP Nuke, those type things.
Right, so how...
So we did some reviews on those in some earlier shows, so...
I must have missed those.
Yeah. Might have missed that one. Might have been unplugged during that time.
It may have happened.
So anyway, you can add this to your sites by writing your own code, by having a content management system and adding the syndication in there. And websites like, for example, My Yahoo. Right now they have a beta version, but it supports RSS feeds that you can add them right to your news sites and your My Yahoo custom page. I've also, if you listen to our Longhorn Alpha review we had recently, I'm trying to zip through this real quick and wrap it up because we're running on time. We did a review of some of the Longhorn Alphas, and I mentioned on there how they have something called a sidebar. And I mentioned how cool it would be to have it, the way they were doing these modules or clips, or I'm not sure what their term was, these modules that you could add to the sidebar for things as simple as the clock, but I was saying how easily it would be to add a stock ticker or news headlines or XML feeds or something like that. It's perfect to fit into something like that. And I would not be surprised at all if Longhorn has support, even if native, maybe even native support built in for RSS, that you can put modules onto your headline. Because they can be pictures, they can be remote slideshows, they can be graphics, they can be text, headlines, etc., etc. So I would not be surprised if that's in there. Now, Microsoft will probably put their spin on it. They'll probably do MS-RSS, make their own little standards and take it over, put some kind of digital copyright or whatever they call that, intellectual property controls, and try to make you pay for it or something. Who knows what they might try, but... But I wouldn't be surprised if Longhorn has some kind of support on it. So, anyway, that's basically what RSS is in general and how it works and some of the possible shortcomings. And if anybody can think of some others or would like to go into more detail about it or knows more about it, frankly, you know, email us, radio@benrev.com. We'll be glad to go into more detail. But it's something that's growing real big, and I wanted to at least spend a show talking about what it is how it works, what it's based on, that it is technically an XML standard. People say RSS a lot as though it's some kind of format. No, it's an XML substandard, so it's not, you know, it's not anything all that detailed or difficult at all. So, again, I mentioned you can go to rootsecure.net, hackwire.com, fl2600.com, check those sites out. You'll see kind of what they look like, and you can actually look at the XML itself. Go to rootsecure.org, click on the XML RSS feed. You can actually see the code and exactly everything I just explained and the tags. Look for them and see if it's exactly the way I described, and you'll see the repetition of the tags, and you'll see how easy it really is. Just you can write a script to automate it pretty easily. Nick obviously has done that with his sites, and content management systems will do it for you, so it's even easier. So go out there and check it out and add one to your site. It's all over there. Go out there and do some Googling, do a little search, and whatever you're interested in, there's probably some blogger out there who's already got a site about it, and you can probably syndicate his news and information, put it all in one central location, add it all to your My Yahoo page, or they have clients you can download that will let you view XMS feeds locally in a client window. Some of them are free, some of them are for sale. You can go check those out if you don't have access to your own website, which a lot of people don't, or to don't have a Yahoo account or whatever. There are clients you can probably find out there. Some of them cost. I can't give you the name of any free open source ones because I haven't had to look yet, but somebody wants to share that also. But you can find just about any interest out there. I know Duel goes out and gets his furries cosplay news that he sees. And I know, Bland, I know you get the latest gerbling information.
Oh,
I know you
no.
get that. I know you get that fed. So, you know, there's something out there for everybody. And if there isn't, create your own. And actually, as I was writing up show notes for this, I had kind of an idea. What do you think of, and you be honest, what do you think? Is this just not interesting or not? But what about an ongoing RSS or XML RSS e-zine? I kind of wanted to do that with FL2600.com, but it's not quite the environment. But what if you were to make a news feed that contained hacker articles? It would have the title of the article, maybe a quick little description or blurb, and a link that people could follow.
That'd be pretty cool.
It doesn't have to be the same site. You could post to it. I could post to it. It'd be a community thing. I don't know if there'd be any interest. That just kind of popped into my head. It'd be kind of cool. It'd be something that I bet a lot of sites, a lot of 2600 sites, a lot of hacking sites would syndicate. Articles only, not news. There's plenty of hacker news sites out there already.
Right.
But actual articles and content, maybe even an e-zine, an actual e-zine. I don't know if it would be good to have it as just consistently putting up a couple articles each day, old ones, new ones, mixing, matching them, or maybe once every month or quarter or something, just post an e-zine with 10 feeds, 10 articles each, whatever, that, you know, people could have that e-zine delivered to them. I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool, but, again, maybe that's just me. I'm nutty like that.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go back to this for a second.
All right, we very quickly because we're running long on time.
Okay, well, never mind.
We got about 5 minutes.
Okay, I really want to install this E107.
No problem.
On my webpage. Could you help me out with that?
Absolutely. That didn't take 5 minutes. That took a few seconds.
Okay.
E107, and, you know, and the thing is, well, I tell you what, we will talk about it, and we'll look into some others, too. I like E107. It has some other themes. We've tried several of them on FL2600. You can customize it. If you know, you'll learn some PHP. If you don't know it already, you'll learn some because it's all PHP-based, MySQL database, back-end, and then plug-in modules that you can get working with it. You'll have to tinker a little bit with it through SSH to get it set up and running first. But once you do, then you can access everything through the web control panel. And, you know, once you get it up and running, you don't have to... It'll work pretty much out of the box, but if you want to tweak it and customize it, you might want to get into the code and get your hands dirty a little bit.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll try a couple others because I do still like E107, and I did go into some reviews on these earlier. I liked Geeklog at first, and I still do, but it does not have that feed, I don't think. I will look into that. Don't write me hate mail. I'll check into that and follow up next episode, but I don't think it has the RSS feature in there right now, in my version anyway. Maybe I'll look for a newer version. But there's also a lot of other content management systems out there. I know PHP Nuke and Post Nuke are two of the most popular, but neither one of them did it for me. I didn't like them. Too... The security wasn't all that good. There were a lot of bugs. It was tricky to set up and configure. There's lack of standards. And Anyway, I won't go there because people are already going to email me telling me that I'm wrong about that. But that's my opinion. So, let's wrap it up, I guess. And I guess I'll start and give some shout-outs just to any hackers who've unplugged for any reason recently. You, to Duel, anybody out there who's unplugged, taking care of impersonal, important issues in their lives because that is more important than hacking. I give shout-out to them. I understand. I relate to it. I completely get it. And if and when you're ready to come back in the scene, we'll be here. Hopefully, unless we're unplugged. So that's all my shouts for this week. You got some shouts for us?
Shasta, let's see, go with Duel, Exile, Fiend, Zapperlink, Bob, Weef, Jedi Bebop, let's see, Ollie, let's see.
What are you just reading down the forums list?
No, I'm trying to think of them. DJ Mollusk, who again I really like. Hack, of course, Wintermute, wherever he may be, Nick84, all the DDP squad, you know, the Voodoo Howl, Not Theory, Logan5, who I haven't heard from in forever.
I did, actually. And when you're done, I'll give a little news on that.
All right. And everybody else, peace, love, and humptiness.
Humptiness forever.
Forever.
Oh, all right. So, since you mentioned Logan 5, I actually have a couple, kind of semi-announcements, I guess we'll call them. Announcement number one is that we are going to start putting together Hack TV Episode 2 at the beginning of June. Now, that means we're going to start, you know, so it's not going to come out right away. It's going to take us time again. It should be quicker. But if you have submissions for Hack TV Episode 2, send them now. Start sending them in right away. Contact me, stankdog@benrev.com. Only if you've got something filmed and done, I'll give you information to upload it to the server. I'll give you some place to upload it in the space. I'll give you shipping information so you can mail it to me. Whatever we have to do, you can mail me. You can burn it to CD and DVD. Rax sent me burned it stuff to DVD before. Duel sent me stuff on CD. Burn it. I've gotten stuff submitted directly on digital video tape, the DV tape itself. And I'll try my best to get those back to people if they send that. I know those probably cost like maybe 5 bones a piece. I think the prices are dropping. But anyway, again, I don't know how long it's going to take. We're going to start in June the process of sitting down and going, okay, what do we have submitted? What do we have filmed ourselves? Let's put it together. And we'll start that process in the beginning of June and see how long it takes. Hopefully by hope. No, bad joke there. Hopefully by hope. Hopefully by the time the Hope Conference comes around, which is July 9th, weekend of July 9th, hopefully by then we'll have episode 2 done, but no promises. Depends on how I unplug and plug back in during that time. So, the second thing is, since you mentioned Logan 5, I have spoken to Logan 5, another person who's been unplugged. All of DDP is pretty much unplugged right now.
Yeah?
Seriously.
Pretty much on hiatus right
yep.
now.
I mean, we're around and we're doing as much as we can, but we've had to cut back. And all of us, because completely separate, individual reasoning.
Yeah.
You know, but they're all absolutely legit and they're absolutely serious things that just take precedence. And I just happen to think personally that family takes precedence, health, finances, all of those things take precedence. You know? As well as other things, you know, so everybody's having a bad run right now and are unplugged, so however, I have spoken to Logan 5. I do have a rough copy of 2.1, Binary Revolution Magazine 2.1. I have a rough copy from him, which means it's still not, you know, it's still a little ways away, but I have a rough copy of him, and I also have a first extremely rough copy, although his rough copies are drop dead gorgeous, an extremely early first draft of the cover, and it's amazing, as always, wonderful, wonderful work. So I do have something in my hands, well, not on the computer, not in my hands, I do have something close to, getting close to finish. So again, these are going to come out as fast as people send us good articles. And if people don't bother to write, we're not going to bother to make a magazine. It's that simple. So send us stuff in. We're accepting, obviously, for issue 2.2 or 3.1 if it goes on in the next year, the rate things are going. But if you want to submit for 2.2, which would be the fourth overall issue, start sending that stuff in, articles at binrev.com. Feedback for the radio show in general, radio at binrev.com. We're going to close out with a song today, Category 5. It's called Triumph. And Mr. Inquisle Nipple, thank you for being on the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
A late night call. You go out and get your deep-fried pork rinds, sour cream, and salsa.
Now, I want you to listen.
With extra cheese.
Those are my keys.
As soon as you hang up the phone. I'm surprised you're not driving now on the cell phone recording as you're going to get them.
Thank you, but I take your order.
Yeah, right? That would have been a good on-location. We could have had that in the background. Oh, you know what else I found out today? On a completely weird note to close out the show. Carl's Jr. that I hear so much about.
Yeah, CJ's.
I found out today that ain't nothing but a Hardee's.
Yeah, Hardee's, or actually, yeah, it's pretty much, it ain't nothing but a Hardee's, but the food's a hell of a lot better than Hardee's.
Hardee's is the bomb.
Hardee's sucks.
We don't have Hardee's down here in Florida, but I had Hardee's all through the South where I lived, and Hardee's was all that. Hardee's was good stuff, man. They kind of changed into like a chicken wing joint.
Yeah,
in the later years, but I just found out that Carl's Jr. is the same as Hardee's, just a different name.
Yeah.
I was shocked at that. So all this time I hear you guys talk about Carl's Jr., now I know.
But the food's a lot better.
Yeah, well, everything's bigger and better in Texas.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up episode 47. Thank you again for being on it, and I think we're going to have to unplug. So until we plug back in, we will see you guys next week, same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Category 5.